Please join me in the prayer for illumination. Lord, you seem to work in such inefficient ways. A whole missionary journey sidetracked so one woman far from her hometown could come to know Jesus. You prepared the way for Paul's word. You sent your spirit into Lydia's heart. You alone deserve the praise for Lydia's saving faith. Open our hearts too. Cause us to pay attention to your word. Then make our response overflow into all areas of our lives. To you alone be the glory. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. The first scripture reading for today is from Ephesians 1, verses 15 to 23, and you should find that on page 1064, and if you don't, please tell me. Paul's prayer. I have heard your faith in the Lord Jesus and your love toward all the saints, and for this reason I do not cease to give thanks for you as I remember you in my prayers. I pray that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give you a spirit of wisdom and revelation as you come to know him, so that with the eyes of your heart enlightened, you may know what is the hope to which he has called you, what are the riches of his glorious inheritance among the saints, and what is the immeasurable greatness of his power for us who believe, according to the working of his great power. God put this power to the work in Christ when he raised him from the dead and seated him at his right hand in heavenly places, far above rule and authority and power and dominion, and above every name that is named, not only in this age, but also in the age to come. And he has put all things under his feet and has made him the head over all things for the church, which is his body, the fullness of him who fills all in all.
Our second lesson comes to us from the book of Acts, the 16th chapter, verses 6 through 10 and 13 through 15. I may be reading from a slightly different translation, but you are invited to read along as indicated in the bulletin. And they went through the region of Phrygia and Galatia, having been forbidden by the Holy Spirit to speak the word in Asia. And when they came up to Mysia, they attempted to go into Bithynia, but the Spirit of Jesus did not allow them. So passing by Mysia, they went down to Troas. And a vision appeared to Paul in the night. A man of Macedonia was standing there, urging him and saying, "Come over to Macedonia and help us." And when Paul had seen the vision, immediately we sought to go on into Macedonia, concluding that God had called us to preach the gospel to them. And on the Sabbath day, we went outside the gate to the riverside, where we supposed there was a place of prayer. And we sat down and spoke to the women who had come together. One who heard us was a woman named Lydia from the city of Thyatira, a seller of purple goods who was a worshiper of God. The Lord opened her heart to pay attention to what was said by Paul. And after she was baptized and her household as well, she urged us, saying, "If you have judged me to be faithful to the Lord, come to my house and stay." And she prevailed upon us. Here ends the reading. A line from that old gospel hymn seems to sneak into my head every time I read the story of Lydia. You know, the one with the lyrics that go, "I'm going to lay down my heavy load down by the riverside. Down by the riverside, yeah." And that's where we find ourselves today, down by the riverside, at the water's edge. It may seem an odd place to gather until one remembers that the bank of the river in today's scripture reading was also outside the city gates. It was a place not only at the edge of a river, but also at the edge of the main stream. Outside the city gates was away from the thriving thoroughfare of market and commerce. The Apostle Paul and his companion Silas headed in that direction when it became clear to them that there was no established synagogue in the city of Philippi. Were they trying to get far from the maddening crowds of retired soldiers and their retainers who made up much of the population? Were they trying to keep under the radar of an administration with a decidedly Roman loyalty and sensibility? Were they simply trying to find a quiet place to pray? Why head down to the river? A crucial part of the Jewish faith, which Paul knew inside out, upside down, and backwards and forwards, was the required observance of cleansing rituals. It was rather common when there was no established synagogue for members of a Jewish community to assemble near a free-flowing stream. Such would facilitate the necessary rites of purification. So Paul and Silas were down at the riverside looking for Jewish believers, which was Paul's normal method of operation. However, Paul found no cleansing rituals or reading from Torah at the water's edge. In fact, he didn't even find any men. What Paul and Silas did find was a group of women who had come together to pray and to worship the Jewish God. Among them was a businesswoman named Lydia from Thyatira. According to the resource, All the Women of the Bible, Thyatira was one of the Macedonian colonies, and it was conspicuous for its guilds. One of these was that of the dyers. The water of the area was so well adapted for dyeing that no other place could produce the scarlet cloth out of which fezes were so brilliantly and permanently dyed. This unique purple dye brought the city universal renown. Lydia typifies a successful businesswoman in a prosperous city. From names discovered archaeologically on monuments, it is evidence that Thyatira was a melting pot of many nations. Imagine that, a place where people crossed roads. Isn't that interesting? Apollo was worshipped as a sun god under a different name, and there was a strong Jewish element maintaining faith in Jehovah. So Lydia, though not identified as Jewish, is identified as a worshiper of God. Commonly called God-fearers, these were people not born into the Jewish faith, but who were drawn to its teachings. Lydia, in addition to being drawn to a faith that proclaimed one God as opposed to the popular pantheons that proliferated throughout the empire, was also one of those rare women who possessed independence, wealth, and a recognized level of social status that came with them. The level of her success is reflected in the fact that she maintained her own household in a place beyond her home city. Prior to this trip to the riverside, we heard how Paul was given a vision of a man from Macedonia who implored him to come to the area to share the good news. And since he and his companions had been stymied when they tried to go in any other direction, they were faithful. And because of that vision, it would seem reasonable for Paul to expect to meet a man when he arrived. Yet there he was, down by the riverside, with a group of women. Nothing was following the normal pattern. Yet there was a plan in play. And Paul did not become discouraged. Paul sat down. Now, we might want to gloss over this little bit of information because we would expect people to sit down in a casual way by the riverside. There's normally not benches or chairs. However, in sitting down, Paul actually raised up the company of women before him. For to sit down was the traditional posture of a rabbi when he was about to teach. Scriptures make a point to say that Jesus sat down when he was about to teach. So Paul placed himself in this company of women, those people who were considered on the edge and not important, and he positioned himself to present the message to the group of people that were given to him. He didn't judge. He didn't reject. He didn't walk away and say, we'll try another day. Paul preached the message of Jesus that he had been given to the people who were given to him. Paul was faithful. Paul trusted, even though he could not see what had been going on behind the scenes. And what had been going on behind the scenes was that God was moving people and resources into place so that the work of the kingdom could be launched in Philippi. And lo and behold, God had laid the groundwork in Lydia's spirit to open her to receive the words that Paul shared. Lydia's response to Paul's preaching was quick and total. So a wandering preacher meets a maven of the marketplace in a most unexpected venue, and the most unexpected happens. Because down by the riverside, Lydia's desire to understand and know more deeply was met. She had been looking. She had consciously become a God-fearer. That was quite radical for a person in her position. And she received the words she so wanted to hear. And in that, after that, Lydia was baptized, and as the head of her household, her act set the tone and gave lead to the rest, and it followed that her whole entire household was baptized. The verve and determination that drove her success were now put at the disposal of Paul and his companions. Her enthusiasm is striking. To get where this woman was, she could not have been a shrinking violet, color pun intended. One gets the sense that Lydia was a force to be reckoned with. She would have had to have been. And the qualities she developed in her business and the connections that she had now seemed to be steered in the direction of assisting in the establishment of a faith community. Customarily, Paul supported himself with his tent-making skills on his missionary journeys so as not to be a burden to the fledgling churches he planted. Yet here it says, Lydia prevailed on them to stay with her. It would seem this woman did not take no for an answer. I'm guessing we've all known a woman like that. So for us, the question becomes, what is our response when the word of God comes to us? Do we say, oh, that's nice, but I don't have the time? Do we truly seek to internalize the message that we are freed from sin Do we give great thought to the sacrifice that was made for us? Do we assume that the only place that we can receive this good news is when we are assembled inside this building? Are we really looking? Or are we going through the motions because that is what we have always done? Some might look at this example of Lydia and use the excuse that, well, Lydia had an abundance of resources from which to draw, so it was easy for her to make such a generous offer. But if we think that way, we miss the point that Lydia was so moved, she made available all that she had. Yes, it was a lot, but that's not the point. The point is that her gratitude spilled over into every aspect of her life, and not only her life, but the lives of those around her. That response of deep gratitude is a model for us to hold before us as we move into Holy Week. We will be reminded again how easy it is to fall away. We will face the sobering words of condemnation that Jesus endured through the mockery of a trial. But beyond that, there stands Lydia, who did not witness these events, but through the grace of God, understood what that meant for her. She inspires us to receive the good news with enthusiasm and commitment. Her response should be ours as well. Amen and amen.